Another week, another end, another reason to sit with friends, imbibing a few. Let's all listen to Carol Lee Espy.
This is the Life Lounge with Carol Lee Espy on the Weekend Voice of Pittsburgh, News Radio 1020, KDKA.
Welcome to the Life Lounge. I'm Carol Lee Espy, and I guess I had to read the lottery numbers one more time. I've kind of been a little remiss on that. The daily is 034, big four is 5024, and the cash five is 3, 7, 8, 29, and 32. Joining me right now is Rick DiClemente. You know, we were way out in the stratosphere, and we're still out there. We're not coming back. In fact, we're going straight out with music later on, so we are not coming back. We're staying way out there. Rick DiClemente is an astrologer, and a professional astrologer. You don't really say astrologist, do you?
That's valid.
Can you say astrologist?
Uh-huh. Astromancer is the fun one.
Astromancer.
Yeah. I don't know what it means, but I like the sound of it.
Yeah, it has a romantic.
I'm an astromancer.
I'm an astromancer.
Astromancer dancer.
And some of the things that Rick and I have talked about a lot of different things, but I had you on talking about the city of Pittsburgh.
December 30th.
And talked about how, you know, what Pittsburgh's sign is, and there's like two official birth dates.
Yes.
So what did you come up
with? What had happened is I had been invited to do an article for the Point of Light magazine with the birthday of a Pisces birthday, I guess 1815,
mm-hmm.
something like that, which is when they were incorporated. And I did the article, and as I was doing it, I kept feeling like this just doesn't fit exactly. It made some sense, but it didn't fit. And then one day I was walking downtown by the city county building, and I saw the plaque saying that the city was founded, you know, on Thanksgiving Day, November 25th. And I went, what? Sagittarius. And 58 years earlier, which is two Saturn cycles.
Makes a big difference.
Yes, of course. And what had happened is that's the day before the Fort Duquesne was burned. Mm-hmm. And the next day, General Forbes came through.
Burn and run.
Gave up the fort. And came up and raised the flag for Fort Pitt and declared the city a tremendous Sagittarius city, which made total sense.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, what was remarkable about it was this was 250 years later, which is one Pluto cycle.
Yes.
And when Pluto goes in a circle and returns, it is a humongous statement of death and rebirth, and that's what we've experienced here.
The much aligned Pluto.
Mr. Bad Guy Pluto.
And we're not even going to get into the fact that they don't even call it a planet anymore because they just refuse to believe it.
I think Pluto has demoted us.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting.
I've finally decided. I think that it's given up on us.
But we always see death in terms of something bad, but actually death is rebirth always.
Right.
And you know, you see it every year when the leaves change and get brilliant,
exactly.
And then they die, and then they just come back green as ever the next year. And it's just the cycle of it. So Pittsburgh is experiencing that.
You have to put things into scope of a 250-year cycle. A Pluto return doesn't happen in one or two days. I mean, it's something that's gone on for at least 15 years on either side. And that's what caused the death, quote-unquote, of the steel mills and coal and the need to let go of the past and to grasp the future and move on. And just like any Pluto cycle you talk about with an individual,
mm-hmm.
you know, the secret is not holding on and letting go and using your power to grab life by the horns and go forward.
Mm.
And that's what's happening now. And that's when that chart really activated and spiked during this whole issue with the penguins. And are we going to lose the penguins or keep them? And with so many planets in Sagittarius, you know, that showed all the sports activity in the city.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Sag stuff.
Sag always goes to sports.
Well, Sag is a very outdoorsy sign.
Outdoorsy, okay.
They can't stand being cooped up, and they love horse riding, and they love sports and football and running, and they're very exuberant.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting.
So we have lots of things going on.
We have lots of things. Well, we've had a ton of eclipses too.
Yes, March was very, very tough.
Yeah.
I've done this 29 years, and I still am very humbled by it because I still learn things that I miss.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just wrote a section in my newsletter called Hindsight. You know, because I miss things, and you just can't foresee it all.
I don't think you can ever see stuff when it's right in front of you.
You can't see it all. But March was very, very difficult, and I don't want to bore the listeners with all the details of the planet.
It was a tough month.
But a lot of things got agitated that had been stirring for a long time, and I really think it delayed spring.
Oh, boy.
I think spring was delayed about 10 years in terms of us feeling that freshness.
Yeah. And even when you're just dealing with the moon in general, it has such a strong the gravitational pull, and what it does with weather and water and all of those things.
And you being a Cancer, moon is a big deal.
Yeah.
The moon is critical in a person's chart.
Yeah.
It represents their feelings, their emotions, their family.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I had a loss in my family when that lunar eclipse came in. And a lot of people had a lot of stuff happen.
Was that the March 18th one? I got your chart
in front
of me.
The first one, the one on the 3rd.
The 3rd. The 3rd of March. Okay.
Yeah. That was on a full moon, wasn't it?
It was a lunar eclipse, I believe. Let's spin that chart up and see. I got a computer in front of me. So.
That was a full moon.
A full moon and a lunar eclipse, yes.
And, of course, that's when all of the flights, you know, we had that big storm down south, and all of the flights were delayed all over the place. And I was flying back from Nashville, and usually I can just jump on, you know, just get right to the airport, jump on the plane, no problem. There were lines because all of the planes had been rerouted. There was the horrible storms that happened, that horrible bus accident. And when I came back that night, my mother went into the hospital.
I see.
There was all of this stuff was going on.
And astrologically, there is nothing like the tie between a Cancer woman and their mother.
There's nothing like that tie. Yeah.
That eclipse was in your fourth house, which is the house of death, the house of the mother, the nest.
Wow.
The end of the matter, the beginning. Something should be mentioned to straighten out how people feel about full moons and lunations, which are also new moons and eclipses, is people are right in saying that things happen during full moons.
They do.
What people don't know is that every full moon is different because it happens in a different sign. That's why the Aquarian full moon is kind of crazy and wild, and the Piscean full moon is kind of placid and romantic, and the Leo full moon is fun and active. But the other thing is there a planet with it lined up with the full moon as it was with Uranus when your mom passed?
Unexpected
and also
stuff.
Is it hitting a spot in your chart that's sensitive?
Huh.
That's why you'll drive by some night, see the full moon, it's kind of boring, not much is happening. And
or you don't even notice it.
Right, another full moon and everything is happening.
Yeah.
The full moon is a trigger.
Yes.
It triggers other things that are happening.
And it's also just, you know, from a scientific level, you know, they say, it's not a very good time for elective surgery because you tend to have a lot of swelling with full moons and you tend to have hemorrhaging and things like that. There are just a lot of things the moon is
moody.
It's moody and it does whatever it does with the tides.
That's why you people that have cancers close to you, let them be moody.
Let them be moody.
If,
let them go.
I had a cancer cat that would just give you that look and just start running up the walls and stuff. It's a cancer thing. They're moody. Thank God they are. They're led by their feelings. The next one.
What's our next full moon coming in?
We have it on the newsletter there.
Oh, here's what, and I have to. First of all, tell people your site so they can. I love your newsletter. I just love it.
Well, thank you so much.
You send me an email newsletter, and I jump on this because you don't just do the okay. Here's what's going on with the stars. These fun little interesting things like everybody's talking about we're going to get married this year in 777.
Yeah.
July 7th, 2007. And you're saying, don't do it. It's not a good day.
I was going to say to people, it's not quite like 666, but 777, people think they're being lucky by getting married at that time. But as I wrote in the newsletter, the planets aren't necessarily good that day, so I would... That would be ill-advised, I think, because of Venus placements. The website is starself.com, which is like myself, yourself, but starself.com. The number is 724-622-8079.
But when you go to Star Self, click on the newsletter. It's, I mean, it's so much fun, and it just tells you basically the little things that are happening, you know, right away now that has to do with what's going on in the sky, but also the screen. I love 7/7. I know so many people who are thinking, "We're gonna get married 7/7." It's like just not the best.
Don't do it. The next new moon you asked about is in Aries, and the next full moon will be in Libra. But the real critical thing that's happening this month, you asked, it'll be in Scorpio. But the real critical thing I think that's happening this month is the 27th. Mark your calendars.
Okay.
The 27th and 28th, because Mars is catching up with Uranus.
Unexpected something.
Well, unexpected, you're right. But see, Uranus is working on all of us in certain areas. It's sitting in Pisces for 7 years.
Yeah.
And it's causing us to want to revolutionize whatever area it's in. Mm. Well, that goes on day after day after day, and you don't feel like a revolution every day. But when Mars comes and gets combined with it, watch out. Like, I'm not waiting anymore. Let's change what we got to change.
Ooh, so
we could have drastic eruptions happen during the 27th. And even so, you know, so many people are afraid of astrology. Even so, even if something rather quote-unquote negative happens, it can largely be a liberation of some kind from something that was restrictive.
And that's interesting.
27th.
Well, sometimes change is a little hard, but sometimes it's the best darn thing. A change do you good.
If you don't like change, you don't like Uranus. It will rock your boat.
We have to take a quick break. We'll be back with Rick DeClemente, who is, we're talking astrology. We're still up there in the stratosphere. Stay with us, and maybe we can learn a couple other things. We're going to go through his newsletter, because there's some great stuff in here. And remember, 777, not a good time for a wedding.
Say I don't.
We'll be back at KDK in the Life Lounge in a moment.
Honey, your life is on the line.
You're on the Life Lounge with Carol Lee Espy on the Weekend Voice of Pittsburgh, News Radio 1020 KDKA.
Good day, sir or madam.
Welcome back to the Life Lounge. I'm Carol Lee Espy. 44 degrees in downtown Pittsburgh, and yeah, we might be getting a little bit of the white stuff in a day or two. But this is Western Pennsylvania. This doesn't faze us in the least. This will pass. We're tough. And with me, my guest is Rick DeClemente, who is an astrologer, and we're going through his newsletter that he has on his website, which is starself.com. And looking at my picture on it for being on the show tonight.
Yeah, put your picture there.
That's my lurpy anchor picture. I love when I go on your website. I go right to the newsletter because there's always some great stuff. Once again, 777, everybody who's getting married on that date, not a good date. We talked about hindsight, which is really true. A lot of times when, you know, and I don't want to get too deep into philosophy about this kind of stuff, because everybody is going to believe what they want to believe. But for me, I think the greatest gift that God gives you, the moment that you're born, where all his stars have been placed, where every star is in the sky.
We are an emissary of that moment.
Yeah, it's not about prediction. It's about inclination of a path. Mm-hmm. And you gave the best description of astrology I've ever heard. It's just a big clock.
It's a big clock, yeah.
It is. It's a big clock, and it's a perfect clock.
Well, the more I do this, the more I realize I have no idea how it works.
Well,
but I just absolutely know it does, and the way I reason it, some people actually think that the planets are things, I mean, living, throbbing beings.
Mm-hmm.
How else can you explain Pluto being the most powerful force there is, along with Neptune being the farthest away? But it seems to me that if God or spirit, whatever word you want to use, is intelligent in making the planets go round and making the seasons go round,
it's so
perfect. It's kind of like the same forces that make those planets go round and round make your bloodstream go round and round.
Yeah.
And the planets are our best clock because we know where they've always been. And really, an astrologer is just reading a clock. That's how I see it.
It is. It is reading a clock. It's
the
perfect time.
The big misconception is people, it's really a tough thing to be an astrologer because people don't understand it. But yet they know there's something valid.
Mm-hmm.
They can just sense it. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's because they can pick up archetypally what's happening in a deep level.
Hmm. Well, I mean, there's no mistake in the Leo in the room, if you know what I mean.
No. There's or Virgo or Capricorn, yeah, I mean, Gemini.
Well, yeah. Leos really stand out. But anyway,
they stand out. Not all Leos.
But I wonder why some, you know. Well, I don't wonder why anymore. But you know, I'll be talking to someone. We are right on the same level, and we're speaking in shorthand. And I get that snotty little sense of humor that they have, and I realize that they're a Scorpio, and that's my ascendant. And I get right with them on it, and it's like this great snotty, sharp, boom, boom, back and forth, and I just love it. Mm-hmm. And so you just, they're just little things that you just pick up on, and you know. And it's also, I can't think of an older pastime than watching the stars, than watching the moon. How long have we been planting by the moon? How long have farmers done all of their crop plantings and their weedings by the moon?
That's why I named my business Star Self, and I should say I didn't name it. It just one day it said, this is the name. That's what that implies to me, the star part of you, the archetypal part of you.
Well, we have to acknowledge the Aries babies right now, because this is the month that we celebrate Aries. So tell me about the Aries. What is that?
I'm really learning a lot about them the past few years. It's very hard to understand an Aries unless you is one.
Mm.
They're very, very basic, and you really have to learn about the rest of the zodiac before you can understand how stripped down, streamlined they are. They simply want to experience life, and they are enamored with themselves.
Yeah.
You know how a little kid comes up to you? My best story is a little kid comes up to you and shows you something he made, and he'll say, look what I made, you know?
Yeah.
And there's just a purity to that that is so beautiful because they're fascinated with life itself. So Aries love to challenge themselves. The problem comes in if they're too self-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they're too hung up on me, me, me.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a beautiful thing. And my Aries friends are always the ones that bring me back into the here and now. They don't complicate life. They look very young.
Mm-hmm.
They have a girl next door, Jennifer Garner type of look.
Wow.
You know, Ashley Judd type of simple girl next door kind of look.
Mm-hmm.
They live in here now. They have phenomenal memories. But the thing is with them is, you know, like I say, they...
Don't butt heads with them.
They don't do butt heads with them.
I don't want to butt head with
them. That's how you deal with them. That's the problem. You don't do the cancer retreat under the rock. If you're having difficulty with an Aries, they want to fight, get it out on the table. They'll get over it in 5 minutes and they'll be on with it.
Mm-hmm.
But cancer's back in the corner because it hurt their feelings.
But I have Moon in Aries, so that's the...
That's right.
That's Moon in Aries, Mars in Leo. And whenever I say
that
I have Mars
you.
In Leo, my friend always says, oh, boy, I guess there's anything, but you want to do something, you're going to do it. And it's like,
I like Mars in Leo. That's good. Yeah,
it's strong. Now, you have a great article on Thomas Jefferson.
What an Aries he was.
And
wow.
He was an Aries. And just intricate, because he was just such an...
Oh, unbelievable chart. Very Aquarian. But he just had a tremendous balance of all the energies. He was a phenomenal chart.
Mm-hmm. I mean, but here's a great thinker. Here was a
great thinker.
Doer.
But he had, you see, charts are great not because of your sun sign. They're great because of the connection to the outer planets. If you're going to be really beautiful, you're going to be connected to Neptune somehow.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to be really inventive or brilliant, you're going to be connected to Uranus somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to be deep and penetrating and Freudian, Jungian, you're going to be Plutonian. The outer three planets are the major, major energies. When they connect in our charts geometrically with our inner planets, that's what gives you the pizzazz. And that's the type of people I like to cover in the newsletter because... You know, they're exemplary of those energies.
Well, and along with Thomas Jefferson, which is just like, I mean, you go all into his everything. And some of the stuff that we're talking about, I mean, when you talk, I even kind of get lost in it, too.
I try to keep it
I know, you're very good at that. You're very good at that. But then you go into,
Harry Houdini.
Harry Houdini, and, you know, the big thing just came up where his family wants to, they actually want to exhume his body.
Yes, that's right.
They believe he was poisoned.
By the spiritualist.
That the spiritualist, because he was trying to debunk spiritualists.
He was debunking them.
He was debunking them, and so they thought that he had appendicitis, a burst appendix, but they're thinking that he actually was poisoned.
That's what some people are suspecting.
So they're going to be checking that. I mean, is that actually going to go through?
That will show up in his chart.
Oh, really? Anything in there?
No. Well, I have to study it.
Oh, you have to study. Okay,
but
I didn't know.
In other words, your chart lives on. You know, these Elvis sightings are because his chart was activated.
Isn't that something?
Your chart lives on. That's why people become a big deal posthumously.
Oh, wow. You know? I have never even thought of that. Well, hey, we have to take a quick break, and we're just getting in. Can we go back and talk about Harry Houdini some more?
Sure.
Elvis has to leave the building. We'll be back in a moment in the Life Lounge on KDKA with my guest, Rick DeClemente.
Signs of life in Pittsburgh, after all.
Everybody's in the lounge.
You're in the Life Lounge.
Everybody's in the lounge.
With Carol Lee Espy on the Weekend Voice of Pittsburgh.
Everybody's in the lounge.
News Radio 1020 KDKN.
Everybody's in the lounge.
Welcome back to the Life Lounge. I'm Carol Lee Espy, and I waited long enough so I didn't talk over Shelley Duffy. I did that to her earlier. I just trampled right over her. She does this beautiful intro, and I just roll right over it. And so we were looking at my chart.
Yes.
Of course, because, you know, you always, it's not any fun unless you talk about yourself, right?
Yeah, that's the most important thing is you.
Isn't it?
You the boss.
And you were saying some stuff was coming.
Yeah, Saturn is approaching the top of your chart, and that happens every 28 years.
What does that mean?
Well, I don't want to get too complex, but Saturn yearns to be there. Every 28 years, it goes around the circle. When it gets to the top of your personal chart, it's indicative of success, having climbed to the top like the goat that Capricorn is.
Mm-hmm.
Everything culminates that was started about 13 years ago.
Hmm.
Saturn was at the bottom of the chart.
I get it.
So
okay.
When it's the bottom of the chart, you get a new idea and you start working towards it. And everything grows, and it gets less work and becomes more of a glide. And now you're gliding into the culmination of your aspirations.
Interesting.
And it'll come about very abruptly around September 1 when Saturn changes signs, goes into Virgo, and then it'll spend about 5 years in that area of your chart.
Hmm.
And then you'll be a total flop after that. It all goes out the window.
Then it all goes out the window. It's the culmination, and then the 5 years is really. I mean, you've been working the foundation, and then it's the fruition, and then at that point, it's just a little cruise for a while.
It's all coming together.
Isn't that interesting?
It'll be
Saturn
very down
return.
To earth too.
Huh?
Does administration attract you? Appeal to you?
Well, if it's
usually
administering funds.
usually people get more administrative when Saturn crosses the top of the chart. Anyhow, that's one of the things coming your way. And you've got just a marvelous chart. It's very energetic, very dynamic, very open to philosophy. You're perfect for this show.
Well, you know what?
You should call it the Life Lounge.
I should call it.
Yeah. We could lounge.
We could lounge and talk about life.
Where are the hammocks, by the way?
Where are the Well, isn't it? But astrology is very interpretive, so you really have to know. Now, when you look, we were talking about a chart. Most people are thinking, what do you mean a chart? Chart's a big circle.
A chart is a map, as if you were way up above the solar system. It's a snapshot of where the planets were at the minute you were born.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of a general way of explaining it.
Right. And it's a circle.
It's a circle with 12 pieces of pie. And
for each month.
Planets, the planets are in any one of those 12 pieces, and they symbolize energies. And it's incredibly accurate. It's very hard to do. And as I teach my students, I'm teaching a class, you have to be willing to be very wrong for a long time.
Oh, wow.
Because you just aren't going to turn the switch on and know how to do this stuff.
Yeah.
You got to be wrong, and I don't know. And then the next thing you know, you start knowing. And then after the years go by, you start to just know.
Because it's not just it's not just, okay, this is your sun sign is in this, your sun is in right. this sign. It's also in a house, and right. it's to a certain degree.
Right. Each planet of the 10 planets is in one of the 12 signs,
okay.
which is a difference, you know. The permutations are endless.
Right.
And in one of the 12 houses of the
so
zodiac.
So what is a house?
For example,
or a Haas,
for example, your Mars is your energy, how you move. If your Mars were in Virgo, which, you know, 8% of the people have,
mm-hmm.
then that means you use your energy in a very specified way, very talented, very discreet, you're a perfectionist. But if it's in a certain, it's also in a certain house, depending upon the time you're born.
Right.
That tells us what area of your life you express that Martian energy, whether it's through creativity,
right.
whether it's in your family, whether it's in your
right.
relationship, in your job. So planet in a sign and in a house.
Okay. And it's where you do your work.
Yes. And that's why the last newsletter was all about how this is done. But you're not going to do it.
What if you don't have anything in it? What if your house, you have a couple houses, empty houses? What does that mean?
Then you just panic and you give up. No. Now, what it means if you have empty houses is you go about discerning the meaning of that house through other methods.
Okay.
Too complex for now.
But, I mean, it doesn't mean like even
it doesn't
if that...
Mean, if your seventh house is empty,
right.
the house of relationships, it
doesn't mean you'll never have a relationship.
Or
okay.
unhappily married.
Thank
you
gosh.
Just look to other rulers for it.
Okay. But, I you know, because when I looked in, there's nothing in this house. And I thought, okay, so it doesn't mean anything. I just want to
you look at the planet that rules the sign on that house.
Okay, and that's where you go. See, and you have a whole thing in your newsletter about how an astrology chart is constructed and
right.
interpreted.
Right.
Thank you for doing that, because to the novice, which I am, it's it can be very confusing.
It is confusing.
And I even to this day, sometimes I get confused when I even see. And you have to read the astrological signs.
Well, I've been teaching this group for 2.5 hours a week for 20 weeks, and it took them about 15 weeks before they really started to shake their head up and down. They're starting to get it now. It takes a while. It's a very complex thing. Picture a dial on top of a dial on top of another dial,
yes.
and they're all twisted. It's very complex.
So folks can actually, you teach classes.
I teach classes.
Learn how to read
workshops.
It.
I do brief little workshops for a couple hours all the way to 8-week, 10-week courses.
Interesting.
Whatever. If people want to learn, then I'm eager to
it's
teach.
It's not an easy thing to jump into. If you've ever tried to read an ephemeris, I look at ephemeris and I go, all right, what is this in English?
Yeah, it's not. It's all Greek.
It's like so bizarre. It is so bizarre. But, okay, I want to ask you something, though, about the baby boomers.
Yes.
Because, like you were saying, 8% of us have this. And
yes.
So large groups of people.
Yes.
We're born in certain times,
right.
and certain planets, because they take the outer planets take so long to get around the sun.
That's right. So, for example, Pluto moves anywhere from 15 to 30 years through a sign.
Right.
And our parents, you know, who would be 70, 80 years old now,
right.
all had Pluto in Cancer.
In Cancer.
So that generation was Cancerian family. Your shoemaker dad was a shoemaker. You stick with the family.
Right.
You didn't really have personal identity. Then the 40s came and the baby boomers came.
Everything changed.
And the Leo generation, which I always symbolized by Mick Jagger's tongue sticking out.
Absolutely.
That's the Pluto.
You're so right.
The Pluto and Leo generation, where we said, well, I understand the family and I appreciate it, but I'm going to express myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then the Pluto and Virgos came along, and they wanted a Pepsi and a Jeep.
Oh, my gosh. Boy, are you nailing this. They wanted a Pepsi and a Jeep.
Yeah, but now the kids are the Pluto and Scorpio, and these are your indigos, and they're very serious, and they're kicking butt.
Yeah.
So that's what you mean by
now what age
generational.
Group is what's the generation of Pluto and Scorpio? What are those years?
They were born up until about 10 years ago.
Okay, so they're children of the millennium, then.
Up until about... Before 95.
They were born before 95.
About 80 through 95.
And then the next group was Pluto and Sag. No, that's okay.
Yes,
the next group is Pluto and Sag.
Sag is the 95 through now, and we're right on the verge of a huge one, because in January...
Yes, tell me about this.
And this is humongous, because in January 25th of 08, Pluto's changing signs again, and that's going to be something.
What does that
mean?
I'm going to
do a whole issue just on that.
What does that mean?
Well, it's going to rock the world.
Okay. And how?
Capricorn is going to stay Capricorn maybe 18, 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Capricorn rules the institutions of the world, the supreme courts, the governments. And Pluto, its job...
Transformation.
Its job is to destroy the weak and replace it with the strong. So institutions that can't pass the muster are going to crumble. You're seeing it already. And hopefully replaced by something stronger. But the thing that's kind of frightening is it's opposite Cancer. And we are a Cancer country. Fourth of July.
See.
So we're going to have Pluto rise up against us opposite our sun, which means it's symbolic of our enemies rising up against us, and we're going to have to be ready for it. But just like Jefferson said, we have to, it's our responsibility to change the government if it's not working right. It's not just the government. Capricorn's all your institutions.
Wow.
And if you are relying on an institution to save you, good luck.
Well, you know, I've been saying over and over again, we need to revamp a lot of what's going on, especially in our in the schools and everything that's going on. And what our kids, we are slaves to athletics, and we need to get back into our kids actually learning math and science and getting with the rest, get with the program, man. Because I'll tell you what, the rest of the world leaps and bounds ahead of us.
Exactly,
leaps and bounds, and we have to get with the program. We have to, because all we're gonna, you know. Like I say, this might just be, they just might sell off the United States piece by piece and go, well, it was a great exercise in democracy. And next thing you know,
this is not going to be mild.
What do we have to offer the world? Football and porn.
Oh my God.
We need to get on it now.
Well, that's exactly what Pluto and Capricorn is going to deliver. There's no more time.
We need to get on it now.
It is time to face
the
music.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've been riding it for so long. We've been making certain things are what it's all about. And, you know, kids, instead of kids getting scholarships for being smart, you get a scholarship because they can tackle somebody. It's not right.
You're exactly right. And I think there's another one that's kind of scary that's happening before then, and that's coming on 9/11. Can you believe it?
Oh, can we take a break? Because
we'll
going to have
break,
time to
then
talk,
we'll
about
talk about
this.
Talk about that. Okay. One,
now, I don't want to scare people.
Let's get scared.
Okay.
Saturday Night Chiller Theater.
Okay, here we go. It was a dark
Chiller
and rainy.
Theater.
It was a dark and rainy night. We'll be back in the Life Lounge on this dark and rainy night.
Life is what you make it. Make mine a double.
You're in the Life Lounge with Carol Lee Espy on the Weekend Voice of Pittsburgh, News Radio 1020, KDKA.
Okay, that's my Betty Boop.
That sounds like a cancer. That's definitely cancer.
That's my Betty Boop. I'm Carol Lee Espy. It's 44 freaking degrees in Pittsburgh. And, you know, it's like April, but it's okay. We've been through this before. My guest is Rick DiClemente, who is an astrologer. And I just, starself.com is his website. Go on and grab the newsletter first thing. Okay, just so you get a sense of how this is the most playful, wonderful, and instructional, I must say.
Thank you, dear.
The teacher in you comes out. So what's
I'm
the,
a Capricorn. I have to teach.
Yeah, see, you Capricorns, man. You play hard and you work hard.
We work hard. It
you
reminds
do.
Me when I first had a radio show in Wheeling, 1982, that long ago, and I was sitting there nervously, and I said, I'm not on yet. And he looked at me and said, you're on.
You're on.
Oh, no, no. And 30 minutes later, a clip hit and blew the station off the air. 30 minutes later, an eclipse in Aquarius, and it just blew the station off the air. It was too much.
Well, this leads us right into the eclipse of
9/11
of this year, and we're going to spook the heck out of everybody, aren't we?
Yeah, we are going to. I don't really know what to make of it. I've talked about it with many astrologers, but what's happening, it happens on 9/11. Mm. There is a solar eclipse in Virgo coming. And it's not just the fact that it's an eclipse, because eclipses are eclipses, but it's lined up with Uranus.
Uh-oh.
And Pluto's opposite Mars same day.
Wow, that's loaded.
That's unbelievable. And the same day Mars is on Mr. Bush's Uranus.
Uh-oh.
which is, you know, his chart represents how we will act as a country.
Yeah.
So anyhow, I don't want to scare anybody, really. I think you're going to see a huge shift to the war.
Yeah.
I think it's going to dramatically pivot right at that time. And September is huge anyway because Saturn is changing signs. But
I mean, when I get my new job, everything's going to blow up.
It's all going to blow up, and you're going to make a lot of money and know where to spend it.
It's like
being in downtown London after 5 o'clock. Nowhere to spend it.
Spend money downtown.
You can't go
London.
Anywhere.
Excuse me.
Clubs.
Could you stop drinking tea and wait on me?
That's
right. Okay. Should we be like maybe putting some cash somewhere to access it?
Well, it's a very tough thing to talk to a cancer country because we just want to be told, you know, mommy and daddy said everything's going to be fine. And that's what's gotten us in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And as a cancer country, we have to realize that 9/11 did happen, that things, people are out to get us in some ways, and we need to sober up. What we need to do, and what is happening, Carol, is this marvelous, marvelous spiritual rebirth that's happening with the Jupiter, Neptune, and Uranus. So, in evidenced by this recent secret episode.
Yeah.
But we need to really work real hard spiritually to make ourselves better and love our families more. And
love our families more.
It
and
starts
love,
with the individual and the family. And
sure.
What's happening and what's coming is Pluto and Capricorn. And that means that these institutions that are shaky are coming down.
Yeah.
And we need to help them come down and help rebuild better ones with better motivation.
Yeah. Well, you know, you can see it in communications happening. There's a lot of stuff among communications happening where I think we need to take a second look at what we're putting out there in television and radio. These are the most influential things right now in everyone's life is what they hear on the radio and what they watch on television.
Sound bites.
And I mean on the internet.
Well,
these
look,
forms
look
of communication.
What happened, and I want to do an entire episode or issue on what Pluto did in Sagittarius since 1995. It's just been absolutely
incredible.
With the
internet. Oh, my gosh.
Well, starting with firing the air traffic controllers and the internet and the spam and the clash of religions and education
ideologies.
And getting degrees across the web and ideology, all that.
Well, the smaller the world got through communication and cell phones, the smaller the world got. Now everybody, I mean, you can call someone. You can literally, I can call someone in Baghdad. No problem.
Go on the web,
I mean, we can't
button.
Speak the same language and don't believe the same things, but I can call them and I can see them on my cell phone.
Right.
Our world got smaller, and all of the ideology was slapped up against each other.
Yes,
and that's what's causes these great conflicts.
That's exactly right. Now it moves into our institutions.
Yeah,
Capricorn, which means that you can't depend on just Social Security.
No, you can't.
Protecting you can't depend on the Supreme Court protecting you. Mm-hmm. In other words, the Pluto says I'm not putting up with stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The institution stays only if it deserves it.
Hmm.
That's what Pluto says.
It's going to be interesting. And the baby boomers are in charge, so get it together, kids.
Get it together.
Quit being baby boomers. You're not babies, and you're not. And this is the one thing you want to say to the baby boomers, of which I'm a member. You're not youngsters anymore. You're not a youth culture anymore. In many ways, you have to throw away the things of your youth and become a man. Become a man and an adult and face things now as an adult and as a man and a full-grown woman.
It is time for us to become collectively a Capricorn world.
Yeah.
And a Capricorn, I was thinking about it last night, and I'm a double, and my dad was one.
Wow.
A Capricorn is very fatherly. Like, I'll negate myself and I'll sacrifice myself so that the kids are okay or so that the situation is okay.
Yeah, that's very un-baby boomer-like.
And that's the mood that's coming.
Yeah, well,
that's
they better get on it now, man, because it's not about revolution.
No.
You know, it's about really...
Responsibility.
Oh, it's up to you, Cap. It's our word. Oh, we have to take a break. Speaking of responsibility.
Speaking of commercials
and but, you know, somehow we got to pay the bills somehow. We'll be back in the Life Lounge in a moment on KDKA.
You're in the Life Lounge with Carol Lee Espy on the Weekend Voice of Pittsburgh.
Come on and talk to the
It's your call. News Radio 1020 KDKA.
Welcome back to the Life Lounge. I'm Carol Lee Espy. For the last hour, I've been talking with Rick DiClemente, who's he's just my favorite astrologer. And I love my friend Sandy Mason, but you know, she's down in Nashville, and you guys are like twin son daughter of different mothers when you talk about all this kind of stuff. And I want to get you together.
Okay.
I think you'd be so hilarious. I think you'd be so hilarious together.
Yeah,
she would love to meet you.
She seems very sweet. I listened to her.
She's a little sad with a Pisces moon. What do you think that's all about?
And I got her seat when she was sick on December 30th.
Yeah.
That's how I got here.
Yeah.
I was referred by Carol Oboley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So see?
All that.
Now, well, how did you get, I mean, we only have, we only have like 2 minutes, but how did you get into astrology?
Well, I do want to send a thanks out before I forget to Harriet Friedlander. And her husband, Leonard, that used to run the Sign of Aquarius bookstore in Shadyside, because in my early years I bought all my books there, and I still insist on using nothing but Sign of Aquarius bookmarks in all my
Aww.
Books. But anyhow, in 71 I had somebody do my chart, and I stewed over it for about 7 years because it didn't really make a lot of sense what she'd said. So in 78 I decided to get a copy of The Complete Astrologer and teach myself how to do this and be very neutral, and I just haven't stopped since. It's just addicting, and it's so accurate. And
yeah.
And something hit me like a two before that said, this is what you're supposed to do, and it became very clear, and things don't come to me clearly.
But so you haven't been doing that. I mean, what did you do before this? What was your...
I was a filmmaker for 10 years in Pittsburgh and Wheeling, and I did computer databases for 20 years.
Out
in the muggle world.
In the muggle, in the muggle world. I love.
And in the last 3.5 years, I've been
bouncing
around Pittsburgh. My office is on Green Tree Hill.
Green Tree Hill. Well, once again, the website is starself.com. Rick DiClemente, he teaches. He'll read your chart. You make an appointment with him. And, he just nails it. It's just too much. And we hope we didn't scare anybody too much, but, you know, maybe I'll put a little cash aside there for that 9/11 eclipse. Put some gold. I think gold's going
to
mean
Turn
anything.
Turn it to gold. I don't know. I'm not the guy to ask those questions.
Hoard food.
I just tell you when.
You know what they say, that the number one thing that whenever there's like a big hurricane or something, people run out and buy the number one thing? Pop-Tarts. Stock up on Pop-Tarts. Can you believe that?
And plastic and duct tape.
I know. There must be something. There must be something about the shelf, shelf life of a Pop-Tart.
3,000 years.
You can eat them and you 3,000 years. Cockroaches are going, I told you a long time ago, Pop-Tarts.
Pop-Tarts.
Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you very much for having me.
Up next, we're going to be invaded and taken over by Slim Forsythe and the Park Lane Drifters. Hold on to your hats, guys. And he goes back a long way in the Pittsburgh radio through one of the very first, which is Slim Bryant. So there's a direct lineage there. We'll get you back. I can't wait to see you again, Rick. We'll have you back
on.
Thank
you very much.
And I want to find out what my job is going to be that I'm supposed to get in September. And all the money I make will be no good because of the eclipse. Everything's going to blow up.
It's the one with all the money.
Thanks. We'll be back in a moment of the Life Lounge after the news.